this morning as we gather for this time of worship. Just want to start off, receive any prayer requests that you have. Is there anyone that you would like me to be lifting up today? Yes. Joy. Yeah, so if anything goes wrong, you don't have someone up here trying to do something. You have to say, pay no attention to the person messing with the camera. You won't see them because they're up there behind the curtain. But that's a nice thing. Make sure that they're sober when they do that. Of course, even if I was, I'd still probably do that. But anyway, well, thank you for getting that done. Any other prayer requests this morning? Certainly, we want to continue to be lifting up our schools and our teachers, our administration, our staff, the children, parents sending their kids off for the first time or going off to college, all kinds of different things happening, but lift all of them up that it'll be a blessed year. Yes. One of the real gifts of being part of the church is some don't discover it until those moments sometimes. Anyone else? All right. I know, Abby, you have an announcement you want to lift up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of family, we have the Weekend Warrior program, which provides meals for kids on the weekends. And we have lost two major contributing factors. One is Bob Dial, who did our shopping and shelf filling for years and was very good at it. And the other is Janice Wilbank. Since she is retired, she does not want to be responsible. Through the pandemic, she's been packing our bags and taking them to the school. And since she's retired, she does not want to be responsible for that. So at this point, if we don't get some volunteers, we're going to have to give that program up. And I don't remember. Do you remember how many bags we packed last year? Was it 10, 15? Was it 20? Okay. We think 20 bags is what we packed last year. There is a meeting coming up. We need someone that could go to the meeting and get the information to see how many bags they need us to pack. We need volunteers that would help with the shopping. I would recommend there be like maybe two families that would take on the shopping responsibility. That way it doesn't all fall on one. Adam and I tried to do it last year, and I had to drop out, and then Adam had to do it, and it comes around pretty quickly. And we have to do some research on where we're going to shop at because we can't get everything at Walmart. So I'm hoping that Save a Lot in Pinckneyville will help us with that. Also, we need people to pack bags. And then we need someone or two people or three people that would be responsible to make sure each week the bags are picked up and taken to the school so that they can be distributed. And so if you would be interested in any part of that, I would appreciate it if you'd see Adam or I after church and let us know. We'll put you on the list. We are more than glad to do our part, but we cannot do all of it. So we're just asking for help, and if we don't get the help, we just won't be able to continue in the program. So I just wanted to let you know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Abby. Well, those are important ministries, aren't they? Yeah, making sure our children have enough to eat, keeping their minds and their bodies strong. So. Well, I think that's all of the announcements for this morning. So let's prepare our hearts for worship. At this time, let's please join for our call to worship.
Call to worship. Come, let us worship the Lord our God.
For the Lord is our God, and He is the Lord's people.
As we wait upon the Lord, let us open our ears. We wait upon the Lord, let us open our eyes. As we wait upon the Lord, let us open our hearts.
And turn to the Lord for healing. Let's join together for our opening hymn. Praise to the Lord.
Thank you.
know we have many things that are before us, that particularly we're continuing to pray for the schools, and there are some who have made their requests known. Sir, there are some requests that are on our hearts of people that we care about and who need our support, and we're lifting them up as well. Whatever is on your heart today as we go before the Lord, let's just quiet ourselves and you can share that with the Lord as we pray. Let us pray together. Thank you, dear Lord, as we gather here this morning, that you give us the privilege to worship you and that you invite us into your house. We welcome us as your family. We're grateful that you care for each and every one of us, that you know us by name, and that you, in fact, already know every need that we have, every concern that we have, all that we're celebrating, all that we worry about. You already know it before we speak it, and yet you'd like to hear from your children. You love us. You care about us, and you seek to strengthen us. And we feel that strength as we gather. Praise you for this congregation and how they care for one another, the way they encourage one another and build one another up, for their witness in this community, for their willingness to serve in whatever capacities that you would have them to serve to meet the needs of Decoy and the surrounding area. Grateful for those who prepare the property and make spaces available so people can come, for people who prepare meals for our children so they're nourished, have strong minds and strong bodies, and be receptive to learn. We're grateful for all those who give of their time and their talents to make this time of worship what it is, that we might praise you without even having to think about the music or the sound or the visuals. You give us so many gifts, gifts to serve within the church and gifts to serve within the community, that we might be witnesses to who you are. As we gather today, that we come with our own needs, our own hungers, our own desires. We're thankful that your Holy Spirit is working among us, renewing us and strengthening us and healing us, restoring broken relationships, and giving us words that we can carry then into the world, that we might encourage and build up others around us and point them to a God like you, who is so loving and gracious and merciful and kind and so faithful. We praise you. We lift up our songs to you. And we place all of our lives in your hand, because only you are faithful. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. As you know, there are offering plates here at the ends of the altar, and I think there is in the back as well. So if you want to give today financially to support the ministries of the church, there's opportunities to do that. But at this time, I just want to offer up a word of prayer and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Holy God, we have nothing to offer except for that which you have given us. And we are amazed that you invite us to be a part of what you're doing. We're grateful that you provide more than enough so that we might return these gifts to you, our time, our talent, our treasure, whatever's needed. We thank you for that assurance that whatever we need, you will provide. And that whatever you need of us to do, that we are capable as we share what you have given back with you. And so we pray your blessing on each giver and on each gift. We offer them to your glory in Jesus' name. God, I am but a man, and yet you have called me to be a servant, to be a vessel in your hands. And in my heart are many words, some that are mine, let mine fall away, that we might hear you. In Jesus' name. Amen. It was spring planting time, and Farmer Murphy pulled out his four-wheel drive John Deere tractor and proceeded to hook up the manure spreader. And he filled that spreader with the year's planting seed, hopped in, tractor, started it up, headed down the drive with the spreader going, just scattering seed everywhere as he went down the highway, bouncing all over the place. He made this a few laps through the field before suddenly he was all out of seed. And so he just drove right back home, parked the tractor in the barn, went in the house for a wonderful season of Cardinal baseball. When he returned to the field for the harvest, though, he noticed that the seed along the road had been eaten up by birds, that some had been burned in the ditches. People were getting rid of their yard waste. And some had been wiped away by the community street sweeper, of all things. Some had been run over by cars passing through the area. Some had been overtaken by crabgrass that even Roundup couldn't handle. But some of the seed had actually made it to the field. And though portions of the field were wetter and portions of the field were drier than expected, it produced a harvest in some places 100 bushels an acre, in other places 60, in other places 30. Can you believe it? Do you hear that? Well, obviously, that is my modern paraphrase of Jesus' parable. But the reality is that people who heard Jesus' parable on that original occasion heard it much like you heard mine. There were people snickering in the background, and the disciples, they noticed. And they were feeling rather embarrassed because, see, these people didn't come out to that lake where Jesus was just to hear about some foolish farmer. They came out there because they thought they were going to hear about this new renowned teacher, what he had to say about God and about a life of faith. I mean, after all, what farmer would be so careless as to waste seed the way this one did? Don't farmers always have to prepare the field in some way? Don't they throughout the year have to look after it to make sure that there aren't any weeds that it's taken care out of during the growth season so that you get the harvest that you hope you might get? There are some things in your control. There are some things outside your control, but you have to work at it. Jesus, what do you mean if we can hear, listen, if we can hear this, set up and take note? What in the world are you even talking about? You didn't even mention God in the story at all, anywhere. God's not there. Of course, it's a parable, isn't it? And so everything in the parable, it's symbolic of something or other. I don't know about you, but Jesus' parables are really my favorite part of the Gospels, because it says he taught in parables. He told these stories, and I've learned over the years, no matter how great anything is I say, the thing people really catch on to or whatever the stories are I told, that's what you'll remember. Hopefully they're good stories and they actually go with what I'm talking about. But you'll remember the stories. We all remember the stories of Jesus. Tell me the stories of Jesus again. I love to hear them. Talk this way. But you know what? Even the disciples, they just didn't get it. They didn't understand what this is going on. They pulled him aside. You see, later on, he tells them at least one interpretation of what this parable can mean. But these first 9 verses, this was it. This was what the crowds heard. And they're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. I think one of the things I like about it is because he leaves so much unsaid. And he's inviting us to take time to try to figure out what this might mean for us. invest a little bit in it. And this parable is particularly appealing to me because of who we are as God's people and what it is that God is calling us to do and to be as people who he calls the church. Jesus is in the process, you see, of reintroducing God to people. You know that? He's reintroducing God. The way he talks about God, it sounds different than in the Old Testament, doesn't it? People often, is this even the same God? Well, yes. But sometimes the way the prophets said it was so harsh. Sometimes came across so mean-spirited. People were no longer listening to that. And so God enters the world, sends Jesus, comes as a human being in the flesh, so that we might have this different kind of relationship. God was always in relationship with God's people, right? With the people of Israel. But now he's making it a bit more personal. But religious leaders back then, they made it really difficult for people, almost impossible for people to connect with God. There were people who thought it was their job to just pile on rule after rule after rule after rule, making it so much more complicated to try to interact with God, that people thinking, why in the world, I can't even do this. Why even try? People who needed God, they felt rejected because they didn't even fit into the specific measures that were being established for who was in and who was out and who is the one who gets to decide who was in and who was out. Am I in? Are you in? It was believed that in those days that, of course, any kind of disease, all kinds of diseases, they were signs that you were cursed by God some way or another. Or if you helped somebody on the wrong day of the week, particularly on the Sabbath day, well, that's bad too. Sorry, Dr. God is not in the office, not available today. God's resting. Can't help you right now. I mean, the Sabbath day, it's reserved for more important things, you know, like pulling cattle out of a ditch. You know, you've got to take care of your financial assets, after all. But Jesus seems to be setting that kind of stuff aside to say, you know what, it is people. People are what matters to God. They are who matter. Every day of the week, every hour of the day, it is people who matter. All kinds of people. All of the people. Not just some. The truth is that none of us really know on any given day who really needs God. I can look out here today and I know each one of you are here for various reasons. Some because you just want to come and praise God and give thanks, and some because there's something going on and you're hoping you're going to get a word that will help you with that. Encouragement, hope. All of us need that. But some, there are other things going on and you wonder, God, do you see me? Do you know my name? Is there something I can feed on today that will strengthen me and renew me and clear up whatever's going on? All of us, we're in different places. And so this parable is really about God offering life to each one of us, offering life to the world, unlike farmers who normally calculate the right time. In fact, they've got all of this satellite equipment now. They can tell them, yeah, it's this soil. Go over here and work on this patch today. You can go over there tomorrow. It's a little bit too dry. There's going to be a rain. Wait on that area. Or maybe you need to irrigate that area before you do something. We've got all this tech. They didn't have any of that back then. God knows the time, though. Farmers normally try to calculate the best really the best time to sow, the best planting methods, the right fertilizer, the right kind of weed control. The farmer, God casts seeds of life to everyone all the time, everywhere, knowing there is potential all around. The story of the soil, well, it's at least sometimes about us, isn't it? How receptive are we to what it is that God is offering us? Are we willing to connect with God in ways that will help us to grow stronger, in ways that will help us to become healthier, in ways that will help us to become fruitful? You know, this particular parable, it focuses on the kind of seed that's about the gospel. There's another parable that talks about another kind of seed, the tares. Someone came in and scattered this bad stuff out in the field. You know, all of us, every one of us, are casting seed in our life all around us. What kind of seed are we receptive to? What kind of seed do then we bear fruit and give out to the world? There's a challenge in that parable, challenge in this one. Of course, lots of things keep the seeds of God from really growing in our lives. Most of those things don't have much to do with whether or not we're capable of producing fruit or the good kind of fruit. Instead, they have more to do with whether or not we stay attentive to God, who God is calling us to be, what God is calling us to do and focus on. But we're invited to be receptive to God so that we can bear the right kind of fruit in our lives. What kind of soil are you? What kind of soil am I? We like to assume, I'd like to assume, that I'm the good soil, wouldn't you? But if that is the case, where are the results? I ask myself that time to time. Our status in the world does not seem to matter to God here. God simply isn't all that impressed with what other people think about who we are and whether or not we are important or have whatever gifts. God gives us all the gifts. In fact, sometimes it's rather amazing to me who it is, people you would never expect, who rise up and do amazing things. Have you ever noticed that? For example, I'm just thinking about Illinois history. Who in the world, back in the day, ever expected anything out of that little Abe Lincoln boy? They just really didn't think anything of him. He was a mess. Born in a poor environment, lived most of his life in a log cabin, had little formal education, and still he rose to be one of the greatest presidents we've ever known. Not a perfect human being, but amazing. Not what we would expect from someone who appeared to be so shallow with the kinds of stories he liked to tell. On top of that, he was constantly getting into fights with people. I mean, the reality is that Abe Lincoln boy, he was Rocky Road if ever there was Rocky Road. And yet he believed in God. And he believed that God was guiding and shaping his life and preparing him for what he did, as imperfect as it might have been. We think, though, sometimes we see people like that. No use investing in someone like that. And what about people? People you think they're great. You know, they, by all worldly standards, they seem to be such wonderful successes. And then you get to know them and you see them up close and you realize they're just not very good human beings, are they? So Jesus, he uses this parable to wipe away, to challenge our perceptions about people. Which people are the right kind of people for God to plant the gospel in? Which people? We ask that question. Which people, God, should I share my faith with? Who are the right kind of people? But, you know, more than this, he he's pointing out in this parable that if we spend a lot of our time trying to figure that out, who are the right people, maybe we're not the most receptive soil after all ourselves. But you know what? We're very time-conscious people too, right? I mean, time is important. We've got a lot of stuff on our calendars, things to do, places to go, people to see. Jesus, won't you just please tell me? Won't you show me? I don't want to waste my time. Don't want to waste my resources on people who they're not going to care one iota. I mean, after all, doesn't Scripture say that it's best not to throw pearls before swine? Well, you know, they're out there. But we don't always necessarily know who those are. Which people, Jesus? Who will, if I share the gospel, respond and bear the hundredfold? That's what I want to do. So be more specific. Tell me. Point them out quickly so I'm not wasting my time and resources. Well, that is a reality, right? We have limited amount of time. But here's another reality. Did you know that 25% of the people that you meet every single day would just love to come to church with you if you simply bothered to invite them? All kinds of surveys have been done on that kind of thing. Why people don't come to church. And they will say, no one ever bothered to invite me. 25%. Did you know that 85% of the people who go to church and stay do so because a friend, a family member, a co-worker, a neighbor, somebody they have learned really cares about who they are, simply took the time to say, hey, I'm going to church tomorrow, why don't you join me? I'll come by and pick you up, we'll go to lunch. And they come and they stay because of someone that cares about them, ask them to come. It's amazing, isn't it? Good soil everywhere, all around us, all of the time. People hungry, hungry for real relationships, particularly after 2 years in isolation because of a pandemic. People lonely and maybe not sure they can trust anybody to be around them, that anybody will really care about them. Hungry for real relationships. And that's really what the church is about. We heard witness to that today. Thank you for the cards, for being people who care. Many people don't have anybody like that in their life. That's what the church is about, why God's called us together. We come here sharing our hopes and dreams and asking God to share God's hopes and dreams with us, showing us how to live this life better, hoping that God will plant a seed that will grow in us and take root, and then will bear fruit that others will be nurtured in their life. Sometimes the soil isn't us, but the soil is in our homes, and it's our children, it's our grandchildren, it's maybe our nieces and nephews, or the kids our kids bring home, or maybe it's our parents or others who come to visit. Sometimes it's at home. Sometimes it's at the counter at the grocery store. The person you've developed a relationship and know enough about to ask how's life, and when they share, they know you're interested. And who you are in that interaction tells them something about who God thinks they are. Sometimes it's at a sports field, and out as you're watching someone's kids or grandkids, you're interacting with the family, and you hear their story, and you hear about life, and because you show interest and care, they really think, you know, maybe there is a God. Maybe there is someone who loves me and cares about me. Maybe it's at work. But more often, the more we're open to God and receptive to God and looking for God, the more the Holy Spirit will work in our lives, helping us to bear fruit. Sometimes we'll see Him and sometimes we won't. But the word of the Lord never is shared without bearing fruit, whether you see it or not. Jesus aside our questions about where to sow and among who. And it's everywhere among all of the people. This silly farmer in this parable does just that. He just goes out and he's just throwing it everywhere. Of course, they called that broadcast farming. That's the way they did it back then. They had a bag on their side and they just went out in the field and, you know, it didn't really matter. And people would actually use the field. They didn't have roads everywhere. They just walked through the field and there'd be a path there and get worn out and get lost and birds would pick it up. They didn't have all that. But you know what? He's just not worried about that. Why? At least in this situation, he realizes there's going to be a harvest and God's in charge of that. I'm just going to go out and sow the seed. There will be a harvest because the seed is love, the seed is hope, and the seed is forgiveness of God, and God never runs out of it. There's plenty of it. It's never wasted. God's love, extravagant, available to all, with help from no one, always to be offered and shared, even if it's not always received, not always accepted, sometimes tread upon. But if we offer God's love in that way, the seed is going to take root someplace, and it's going to amaze you when it happens. Some of you know, I've shared before in different places, but anyway, my father and mother were in the retail furniture business in Fairfield for 58 years. I grew up around that, and around that business. They had an employee who worked for them for 35 years. Very loyal, very faithful, very dependable guy. But one day, there was an announcement at church. They were planning an invite a friend Sunday. And my dad was thinking, thought, who in the world can I invite? I want to participate in this, but I don't know who. Everybody I know already goes to church somewhere. But he kept thinking, and the only one that could come to mind was this man who worked for him. The thought never occurred to him that he should invite. In fact, he was a bit concerned that the guy would feel pressured, so maybe I shouldn't do that. But he said, that's the only person I know. So he went to work, said, I'm gonna do this. And his name was Gene. He said, Gene, we're having an invite to Friends Sunday this next week. Would you come to church? Would you invite your wife and kids to come to church and sit with our family as our friends for this Sunday? And you know what? He came. He brought his wife and brought his kids. And before long, his mother came along. And then his sister. And they accepted the love of Christ in their life and became very involved in the church. It wasn't before long, Gene was the chair of the board of the church. Why? He didn't realize my dad thought he was his friend. Imagine that, that your employer thinks you're his friend. Made a lot of difference to him. Came every Sunday. How did it happen? A hope, a prayer. Lord, make my life a tool for you. Work in me and through me. Help me to bear fruit. And he came because my dad set aside his doubt and trusted that, yes, God can use even me, even the last place I might work. Good soil everywhere, waiting for the seed, good news to be tossed on. Are you willing to be like that? Be a foolish farmer for Jesus, trusting that God will bring the harvest. Sower went out to sow, scattering seed everywhere. It fell clumsily all over the place, and some landed in the last place you would ever expect, and it bore fruit. Simply because you were faithful to do your part. God We have something then to share, seeds of promise. If you will sow, the harvest will come. Who of you would scatter some seed? Jesus, I have promised. In our lives, all of those who were faithful to share your love and your compassion and your kindness and forgiveness and grace with us. Families who brought us into the church, others who have nurtured us within the church, and especially for your Holy Spirit that goes with us each and every day. We thank you for the tools that you give us so that we might be useful to you in whatever place we work. We pray, Lord, that that seed of love and grace and hope that is ours, given to us by Jesus Christ, might work in our lives, be seen by others, that through our friendships with whomever we meet, others will be receptive to the love that we share, that you will bear fruit from us that feeds their souls and draws them to you. Lord, we trust you with that harvest. Make us faithful. Make us trusting. Help us to believe. Lord, yes, even me. I can bear fruit for you. Go with this. Bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen.